life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan Smith, the man men call Carter Sharp, and this is episode 4 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. Once again, I am joined by pretend Cockney and DefCon2.co.uk scribe, Anthony Askew.
Afternoon. Hello, listeners.
And we are talking about today Gag Manga Biori, which is a show I gave to you to watch.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I've never watched anything quite like it. And I'm sure a lot of people will agree on that one, so...
Yeah, it's not... I don't think it's really super popular, or even, super watched from...
No, I can't imagine it, yeah. I don't know whether it's a running kind of thing that every series that has 5-minute long episodes is just totally crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's... I think they're on their fourth series now, and I think the fourth one may be ongoing rather than just like the 12 episodes they've done so far. So it's a short series, a series of shorts, rather.
Yeah.
They're basically about 5 minutes long, and they're taken from strips from a comic called Gag Manga Biori by Kosuke Masuda, which currently runs in Jump Square, alongside more well-known strips such as Claymore and D. Greyman. And it's basically a gag strip. It's not a 4-panel one like Azumanga Daioh or something like that. It's more sort of fully formed as a comic. But, they tend to be either one-offs or there'll be a few with continuing characters. And this is I believe it might have been an OAV series first and then went to TV, this first series, which is directed by Akitaro Daiichi, whose notable works include Ojaru Maru, which is very long running, and I think he's been in charge of it since it started in the 90s. And that's another gag series, I think about Little Emperor. But that's sort of where he's honed his skills in sort of doing these gag things. But he's also done Kodocha, Sana's Stage, which is a girls' manga, which was...
Yuck.
It was very popular in the 90s, I'll tell you that. At Minamicon, I watched a huge chunk of episodes.
And did you like it?
The early episodes are very good. excuse me. I think the general consensus is it sort of heads towards melodrama as it gets further and further along. It's very gag-like at the start, but sort of tends towards melodrama as it goes along.
Yeah.
He's also responsible for Sexy Commando, which is the series which is probably most like this in terms of animation style, where it's based, and I believe the actual strip is influenced by the guy who created that particular manga. That one's about a guy who's learned this mysterious martial art called the Sexy Commando, which involves pulling your trousers down to distract the opponent.
I think I've been studying that martial art for a while myself.
Then there's Jubei-chan, which is like a ninja comedy.
I've heard of that one.
Breaking off from comedies is the very grim Now and Then, Here and There, which is...
I haven't seen that, but I've seen it in a few EMVs, and I don't know what... It's got slavery involved, like kids...
Yeah, it's sort of kids in warfare and in an alternate reality.
Mm.
And then, more famously, he's the director of Fruits Basket, which is obviously very popular in the West. And a more personal project of his was the OAV series animator runner Kuromi-chan, which is sort of a comedy slash satire of the animation industry and working in it. Yes, yeah, so we'll go episode by episode, I think, because these are fairly different. There's no real continuity.
Not at all.
Particularly in this series. There are characters who in the second, third and fourth series reoccur.
Right.
But a lot of these are just one-off sketches, almost.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 1 has two stories, one called Stickers and one called Stickers 2. So what was your impression of this episode?
I'll just start by commenting on the intro more than... Like, just obviously start.
Oh, yes, we should talk about the intro, yes. It's probably the best piece of animation.
Oh, it's strange. It's good. I'm not going to try and do a rendition of it, but the lyrics, they don't really make a great deal of sense at all. And it's sang by Yuji Oeda, the guy who does Sanosuke out of Kenshin. Honestly, the instant I put it on, I was like, what have you got me watching? And...
Because I'm not an art history buff, but they're definitely parodying a specific sort of art style as well.
Yes, I'm trying to think forget it. But yeah, if you see it, you'll know what you mean.
there's the very first episode of the fourth series, I believe, is because in this series there's lots of historical episodes, but they're all really dealing with Japanese history. But in the fourth series, there's one which deals with a bunch of European artists and them getting into a really strange combat situation. And I think that art style they're parodying at the start of this series relates to them. This first episode, Stickers and Stickers 2, which are tales of product development and the development of free stickers given away with various products.
Yeah.
In the first one, I think it's some sort of chocolate snack. And in the second one, it's some sort of bread.
And basically, the first set of stickers of just the depictor, a depressed boy. That's the best way to describe it. And
who turns out to be the son of somebody who was fired earlier. And we should mention who the product development team is in the first one. They are Kawamoto the Human Computer, Tada the Bear Killer.
Are they from anything else?
Chibukawa the Chain Wielder and Azaki the Okinawan Traditional Folk Singer. I don't believe so. I think they're just supposed to be like parodies of guys. Yeah, people who show up in like a Shonen Jump manga. But they don't do anything apart from sit there and open a door to let the kid in. That is all they do in the episode.
There's one thing I noticed which... I don't know, like, obviously I don't speak Japanese, but the delivery of all the lines seems rushed, and it's like, I don't know, it's a strange pacing
of the
dialogue. And
machine gun-like.
Yeah, and like obviously the animation, the move very kind of over-animated in a sense, and it's nice. I like the first episode. If anything was going to get me into that series, it was that. It cracked me up. It really did, actually.
It doesn't require much knowledge.
No, not at all.
Some of the later ones, there's a degree you can get more jokes if you go and do a bit of research.
Yeah, because some of them were like way over my head, obviously, as everything else is. And I read up a little bit about them, and it's a lot more kind of clever than what you're initially expect, I think, from the scene.
Yes, yeah. So Stickers 2... so the first one they're dealing with, they've made these stickers just of this delinquent child. he complains first that they're too depressing, and then the various... But rather than change them from this delinquent child to something that kids might want to get, they just take more pictures of the kid with different facial expressions.
In the evolution of the expressions, it's hilarious. It really is.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah, there's, yeah, I think that's extreme reaction, extreme facial expressions, yeah. It's a source of humour in other anime and manga, but it's very distilled in that particular story. And then the second one is a parody of Pokemon stickers, as they are this macho bread company who want Dokimon stickers to go in their bread. But the only stickers which are being made are the hero, because the person who works in product development is a doujin artist who's obsessed with him. And the pictures she draws don't actually look like the character in the cartoon.
I bet there's been so many kind of stickers or cards released in the past where that has been the case.
Yes.
It looks nothing like the character or... Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so over here we occasionally had stickers with foodstuffs and things, but because I think Panini stickers kind of dominate the sticker market in the UK. So did you used to collect Panini stickers as a kid?
What's the best way to describe it? I was kind of like a fake football lover in the sense that I had to have the football stickers, and yet 9 times out of 10 I didn't have a clue which player was. So
I think I once collected a World Cup lots, but not like particularly avid. The ones I got the most of, I think, were Return of the Jedi,
right,
Secret Wars, which was the Marvel comic thing, and the one I got all the stickers of, but didn't actually have the album to put them in. So I think I put them in a scrapbook instead.
Was
Dune. Of all things.
I didn't even know they released a kind of collectible sticker collection.
It's a very thing. Well, I think it's just because it was science fiction, even though kids were unlikely to go and see it enjoy it.
No.
So I don't think I saw it until much later, probably as a teenager, was when I first actually saw the film itself. But I knew the story because I had all the stickers.
Oh, God, what a crazy film. What a disappointing film.
I quite like it, but I'm not a fan of the book, so I can... I've never read the book, so there's nothing there to make me annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I just quite like it because it's Shakespeare in space, directed
by
David.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it, yeah. But right. I remember, obviously, with my stickers up north, obviously being from Newcastle, for those who don't know, everyone was always amazed by having a shiny Newcastle badge. And there was loads of them in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And everybody showed off, yeah.
What was the... How much were they? Were they worth two of the normal stickers, or were they worth more? Used to be two when I was a kid.
I don't know what the general currency was in terms of trading and laundering stickers in the day, but, yeah.
And was it... Did you always have to go through other people's stacks by going, got, need.
You put that in a separate pile, yeah.
I'm pleased that hasn't changed.
Oh, well, why would it? It's a foolproof plan, that one.
Yes. Right, I'm sure it progressed towards Pokemon cards. And...
Yeah, definitely. Even I was a buyer of the whole Pokemon card generation, so...
I did buy some trading card games in the mid-90s, but they were always ones which weren't popular.
Who did you play with?
We had some people in our role-playing group and stuff.
Oh, fair enough.
But we can get onto that on a later episode, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, episode 2, which is an episode 3, really, because they're both it's a two-part story. Which is Yang Ti gets angry with the Sovereign Letter, and Yang Ti gets angry Lu O Yang's volume. And this is the tale of... Prince Shotoku and Onono Imoko, who are real historical figures.
Yeah, yeah.
And their journey to see Emperor Yang to deliver a message asking for Japan to be recognised, and the message also the earliest written instance in which it is called Nihon. That is all historical fact. However, the fact that they behaved like a pair of stand-up comedians dressed in tracksuits is
probably not. Yeah, it probably didn't happen.
Every Yang probably hadn't been replaced by a space octopus.
Oh, what a crazy! So, I didn't know what was going on at a lot of this point in time. And I was watching this thinking, could this show get any crazier? And it does, but we'll not get that yet. But it's, as you say, it's obviously based on true fact. I did read up a little bit about this later on, and it just, yeah.
Yeah, it's the aspect that the Emperor got mad at the message is also true. But that's about it. Most of it is just gags, which don't really...
Make sense at all.
Don't really rely on the history either. They just rely on the prince being wacky and Imoko.
Who's a politician or something.
He was reacting to the prince being ridiculous. Like wanting somebody's blood to write the message in because they can't find any ink.
Yeah.
Or if the prince and trying to shake hands with a dog.
It's pretty zany, but it's... But obviously, if you were obviously Japanese watching it at the time, obviously that would have so much more relevance... than what it did for me, obviously.
Yeah, I believe these two are recurring characters in the strip.
Right.
Certainly, you can definitely get merchandise of the prince.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen a mobile phone trinket, which I think he vibrates when your phone goes off.
Oh, right.
Those things, yeah, of him. So, I think they're some of the more popular characters from the series.
Yeah.
Yes,
episode 4. If you're ready to move on to episode four?
Well, no, because do you think that historical comedies that we've produced over here would similarly have difficulties if you didn't know the history involved, like Black Hat, let's say?
To some degree, yeah, by all means. But obviously, I watched Blackadder as a child, so, and I didn't have a great deal of like knowledge and history as obviously being younger. Yet, I still found it funny. So, yeah. But obviously, to some degree, it depends on the subject matter, really.
Yeah, I think this one works a bit better than one of the later episodes we'll get to, in that the characters and what they do are wacky enough
to work. Yeah.
Yeah, without the sort of the having to rely on the anachronism of the historical context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, yeah, so the next one doesn't rely on history at all. It's called The End.
This is one of my favourites of the series.
It is pretty good, yes.
I'll throw that one out there.
It is pretty good. It's the end of the world as a variety show, basically.
And I just feel, I'll just say it, I feel it has so much truth. There's so much truth behind this episode, I feel.
Yeah, this one's one of the more satirical ones.
Yeah, definitely.
But basically, there's a variety show. The world's coming to an end.
It's about 8 hours or something, or 3 hours or something.
A giant meteor.
Yeah.
And everybody in the world has basically given up keeping up appearances.
If I remember rightly, there's a bit where you see like a crowd of people like with sticks and stuff, and I'm sure they have curls of poo as hats. At least
they
looks
do. And attached to the sticks as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And generally everywhere, yes. So in this variety show, we have an anchor singer, an idol singer, a ventriloquist, and a magician.
Yeah. Who, but after, I don't know if I've tried to look into it, but I believe all these characters are fake.
Yes. Yeah, I think they're just parodying types.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the anchor singer's decided to strip off his clothes, give up singing, and he's basically hand-boning there, making music by hitting his naked body. The idol reveals she's been lying about her age and her image, and she starts smoking on screen. The ventriloquist declares that he hates his dummy and starts beating it up.
Yeah.
And then you get to the punchline with the magician, who...
he's actually got supernatural powers.
That is true, yes.
So, but I just love the interaction between these four like crazy characters. It's just, it's great, it really is, it's good. It's good
and stuff. Also the idea that you'd put an event, a variety show to mark the end of as well. It's pretty funny in itself.
Are we going to spoil the end of this episode?
No, we'll leave the punchline out of it.
And the punchline's pretty clever.
Yes, it's and then the tag to the punchline is funny as well with the
good stuff.
Yeah, so favorite apocalyptic fiction? Do you have any? Would Armageddon have been better if it was as long as this episode?
If it had been 5 minutes, probably. But even then, don't like it.
What if it had a magician in it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Though you could regard Bruce Willis as a bit of a magician, so...
Yeah, I was dragged into that film unwillingly. I wanted to go and see Dr. Doolittle that night.
Ooh, both as bad as each other, I think, though.
But Dr. Doolittle was shorter. Yeah, that was one thing. Everybody said we'd made the wrong decision when we got out again. Mm. But, yeah.
But favourite apocalyptic fiction? That is a question. What about you?
Let me see. Well, obviously, from my website, I've been doing a lot of stuff about Violence Jack, which I quite like. In terms of a sort of non-manga, non-anime, A Boy and His Dog, I quite like. Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't actually.
It's Don Johnson, when he was, might be only a teenager, early 20s at the most.
Yeah.
And he's got this sentient, I can't remember if he's talking dog or telepathic dog.
Right.
In sort of like a post-apocalyptic world. It's well worth seeking out. It's probably his best performance.
Oh, I'll give that
an actor, which isn't saying much for Don Johnson. But,
The Road, if you've seen The Road.
Well, I haven't seen
that's
The Road.
No. That's up there. But as for anime, it's something that I haven't watched a great deal of, but it's changed my life already, and that is Fist of the North Star, which I'm plowing through at the moment.
Good.
I changed my life.
I think I've only seen the film, and it was a time when I didn't really appreciate it for what it was.
Right, right.
I've seen some of the second Fist of the North Star series, which I hear is nowhere near as good as the
first. No. See, that's what I've seen originally, so I kind of went in reverse order in a sense. But no, the series is fantastic. It the instant everything gets introduced, the characters, it changed my life.
Right, on to the next episode. Episode 5 was Down the Narrow Road, Episode 1, which is another historical tale, and this one, I think, is probably the weakest of this first series.
See, I like this episode.
I didn't quite work for me. But
I think it's better than the following two. I prefer the following two.
No, the following two kind of appeals a bit more to my sense of humour. I think that's right. It. In that the following two are a lot more absurd. Yeah, this one is about the poet Matsuo Basho.
Who did exist.
Who did exist. And his apprentice Sora, who also existed. But here, he's Basho's cast as this wimp who's really desperate to impress his very brusque apprentice. And try and get him to travel north with him. And Sora agrees in the hope of seeing horrible things happen to his master.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, really, in a sense.
It does, yeah. So what did you like about this one?
It was pretty slapstick for a start. It felt slapstick. So obviously, basically, the apprentice gets invited into the master's home, and he doesn't treat it as his master's home. Basically, he treats it as his own, and he's relaxing and stuff. It's good. I'm surprised he didn't like this. Well, I'm not saying he didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I still quite enjoyed it, but it didn't gel with me as some of the more absurd ones do.
There's a point in the episode that had me in stitches, and it's basically as they walk into the house, the master says, "Oh, be careful, the floor is slippy." And before they have a chance to move, basically the master slips, and it doesn't sound very good, but it's funny at the time. It is.
Right, on to the next two, which is history again, this time about the consulate Townsend Harris, who at the start is shown as some sort of extraterrestrial on a live-action thing, which I'm guessing is a satire on sort of how Japanese view foreigners. But rather than his historical representation, this two-part episode, which the first one's called Harris Impact Surprise Plan, he's basically a lunatic who basically inspires panic from his secretary, Henry Huysken,
who was a Dutch
translator. And also ended up getting assassinated as well.
Really?
Yes, I found... Yeah, it's sort of, I think, probably 2 years after when this episode was supposed to be set, I think he got assassinated.
Oh, right.
I was reading. By not, I think Harris warned him not to wander around at night without bodyguards. Or he may have had bodyguards. It may have been the bodyguards who assassinated him. But yeah, he was an easy target, apparently, and ended up paying the price. So Harris wants to make the same impact on Japanese life as Admiral Perry did with his arrival. And in the first episode, his main idea to make a bigger impact is to eat dirt.
Oh, God. But I've got a question. You might know, but is the voice for this character, the Harris guy, is it an American doing a Japanese voice, or is it a foreigner doing a Japanese voice?
I'm not sure. It's definitely the intention seems to be to give the impression of a foreigner.
Because I picked up on that straight away in the sense that it's almost like broken Japanese.
Yeah, I think in the next episode they make a gag about that when he can't pronounce the name for the treaty he's supposed to be signing.
Yeah,
and also in the first one, this character Okichi turns up, which apparently legend has it was an adopted daughter of Harris's, but history has it was actually a housekeeper who fired after a few days. So it's the first one is slightly silly in that he wants to eat dirt to make a big impact.
Yeah.
The next one, which is Harris Impact Chapter Marching In, is ridiculously ludicrous.
Oh, it blows episode 6 out of the water.
Where he decides to make an impact by building a ridiculous contraption with a face. It kind of looks like the end of level boss from some sort of early 90s shoot 'em up. It's like this steam train thing with a sort of this face with sort of tube-like dreadlocks coming off it. And it's powered by Huskin bouncing up and down on this platform in the front of it.
I think the beauty of this is how it's revealed, because Harris has kind of shown him this drawing of this contraption, how he's going to travel around, and it's basically sat outside the window, already made and everything. I just love the reveal of that. I think it's great.
Yeah, but it is pretty good. Yeah. And I just like the absurd design of the thing and the idea that this will be his big impact. And then the punchline is that it's so ridiculous, no one can actually describe it, so it got completely lost to history. But obviously, and that it's anachronistic again in the ridiculous stuff, but obviously that crops up plenty of times in anime, like Samurai Champloo is ridiculously anachronistic. There's a website somebody's done sort of listing them all, explaining how Samurai Champloo can't fit into any given time period because it contradicts itself constantly from episode by episode. And another one I like recently is a series just come out on DVD in America called O Edo Rocket, which is about firework makers in the 1800s. But that's full of anachronisms as well, and sort of breaking the fourth wall. And lots of funny gags. It's a gag-packed thing. And it also has various points. Like, it gets to the end of the story and there's like five episodes left, so then uses that to take a stab at nationalism and Japanese nationalism in particular, pointing out how ridiculous that all is. But yeah, that's worth checking out. Right. On to episode 8, which is a two-part one. Both sort of parody episodes.
Yeah.
The first one is Go Omosubikun, which is a fairly overly direct version of Doraemon.
Yeah, I picked up on that straight away, yeah.
Kid has this friend whose head is a rice cake who helps him out with all these problems by just being ridiculously direct, either by telling people exactly what the problem is or beating people up. And eventually feeding his friend, his human friend, his head, and has to leave the planet. This is a really odd way of presenting a cartoon, though.
It is, because I don't know how to describe it, really.
They basically show it as a panel.
Yeah.
Sort of panels of a comic strip, but showing you all the panels at once, with the animation happening each panel at once, and then sort of the sound moves from panel to panel. But it slightly changes with each tale it tells. But yeah, it's very odd. It's a very odd presentation. The gags are fairly obvious, and I think that's maybe why they went that odd way in presenting it. The second story is Lightspeed Rider Mac Ryu, which kind of comes off as a parody of Speed Race to begin with, but then sort of definitely becomes a parody of Initial D.
I like this one, actually. I did like this one.
It is good, because not only does it parry sort of the content of Initial D with its ridiculous driving techniques, in this case motorcycles rather than cars, it also seems to be parodying the fact that those sort of shows use 3D models of cars to show the racing.
Yeah.
Because they're using a sort of a 3D model program, but all the vehicles in it are 2D still, which we then get the final punchline of all of like this spinning shot, don't you? Where everything's revealed to be completely two-dimensional in this 3D world.
But something we forgot to mention, and I'm surprised, and that is the ending theme of the series.
Oh yes, which is the same song sung in a variety of fashions,
and it's strange
with different strange looped animation.
Yeah. And in this case, it ties in with the second part of the episode with them spinning.
Yes.
In this kind of crazy way. But it's a great... In fact, the music in general, what I remember of it, and like the intro and outro is fantastic.
It is. I think it fits the show.
Yeah. Couldn't have picked anything better.
That's the thing I like about Akitaro Daiichi is whatever he's adapting to anime, he sort of adjusts himself to match the content. So whatever he adapts tends to come off fairly well from how the original intentions were in the comic. Right. Yeah, he's quite, you're never necessarily going to recognize his style on a show.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the shows always tend to be fairly well made.
Mm-hmm. Was this actually popular in Japan, this series, at the time?
Yeah, it's pretty popular. Like I said, it's on to its fourth series.
That's
now.
True, if it's, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's a fairly popular show.
Yeah.
So it's in this sort of genre. And there's more of these sort of shows come along. It's also done in Flash, I think, is the other thing worth mentioning.
Right, I didn't really notice that actually. But...
I think it's occasionally more obvious on some of the earlier episodes. But I think as they go along, they sort of get a better grip on sort of reproducing like a hand-drawn style.
Mm-hmm. And there's strange moments where they have kind of like a one of the characters maybe like a paper cutout on the end of a stick.
Yes,
and it's like obviously a live action of this guy wobbling the character.
Yes, and sometimes they've looped in sort of, they've used live shots of Sky as well in some.
Yeah.
And there's one where they sort of do like a, oh God, I can't remember what the 50s American show is where they just used to put in live action males over still drawings, but they do that as well. In and of course there's live action bits as well, like the alien version of Harris and some of the ending theme songs as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Action bits in it. Right, on to episode 9, which is Birth of the Magical Girl, in which the Fairy of Raymon is sent to Earth to create a magical girl to protect peace in Japan. The problem is that the girl selected is in her final year at school and has university entrance exams. It's all sort of one build-up to one joke right at the end of this episode.
And it is worth it for the...
It is a very good joke, yeah. It is a very, very good joke.
I don't
joke.
Even want to spoil this because I think it's one of the... The best punchlines in the series.
Yeah, because it sort of sets up the logic.
Yeah.
In the episode to get to that punchline, and the logic's ridiculous, and the punchline's ridiculous.
Because I didn't quite enjoy the episode that much until, obviously, it's only 5 minutes anyway, so it's not like, but you know, the end's fantastic. Yeah.
So, have you seen many magical girl shows?
I've seen, I don't know if you regard Dokuro-chan, it's kind of...
Yeah, that's a kind of another parody ish. Of them.
But it's not my cup of tea, really.
Yeah, everyone seems to be watching this Magica Madoka at the moment.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people mention saying that's good, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we come back to that in another episode. Have you watched any or not?
I tried watching the first episode.
Didn't like by the sounds of it.
Well, it's visually interesting, as most of that guy's stuff is, but it's not visually interesting all the way through.
Right.
And you kind of think, okay, why can't you be like the visually interesting bit way through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's only a short series, isn't it? It is, yes. So, but nah, Magical Girls, it's not my forte, really.
I think I've mentioned before this stuff I like, but... Yeah, I'll probably get back to that at some other time. Yes, episode 10, then, is Sayuki, the End of the Journey, in which the final stage of Journey to the West is turned into a race between the heroes. so basically, there's the three... Well, there's supposed to be four heroes of the Journey to the West, but by the time they've reached the final stage, one of them has disappeared.
You slowly find out, obviously, in pretty much our guess from the off.
Yes, in flashback, how the fourth one has disappeared. But basically, they're trying to all reach the end of their journey at the same time.
How the finish line's depicted as well. It's like big, fantastic journey, and all it is a big sign that says goal.
Yes, it's a literal finish line.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it gradually degenerates into a proper... foot race between the three of them. So, you're probably too old to have seen Monkey.
No, I know Monkey. I've seen Monkey before.
Yeah, because that was on when I was in primary school, and I got vague memories of pretending to be more vague memories of arguing over who got to be Monkey when playing it, because nobody really wanted to be any of the other characters.
Why would he want to be, really?
But yeah, it's... do you know the
author?
Magician juggler Matt Ricardo?
Oh, No? What is it?
No, he's... Well, he's... he, well, because he's... trying to figure out. He's... I don't think he's... He's my brother's sister... No, my brother's girlfriend's sister's husband, I think. So I heard this tale of him. He taught the guy who played Monkey how to do the...
Oh, right.
Pulling the tablecloth out from under things trick. Yeah, so when I'd go around my brother's house, they'd refer to the guy who played Monkey's Uncle Monkey, because apparently that's what referred to him as.
Oh, I didn't
know. So, yeah, that's my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, the guy who played Monkey.
Because I know it's like that other series, isn't it? The Water Margin or something it's called, isn't
it? Yeah, I don't think I ever saw Water Margin.
Nah, I've not seen it either, but I think it's going to be all right if you're into that kind of...
Yeah, they re-released it sort of in the 90s, I think, on VHS. I don't know whether...
I think you can get it on DVD, yeah. Like a big box.
Pretty sure. Yeah, I seem to remember it coming out and having to log it when I was at Videolog. But yeah, never seen it. But right, on to episode 11. I Am Dead and I Scream at the Sun and Unlucky Friends. This is, probably the most blackly comedic that it gets. So the first story is a girl has been killed by a swordfish, which was pierced through her chest.
After she tried to save a cat from getting run over.
Yes, this tiny cat who was carrying this huge swordfish. basically, she repeatedly makes bargains with the Grim Reaper for 5 more seconds of life because she's not satisfied with the last words she's made.
Yeah. And she mentioned someone, I'm sure he looked up this guy, but... Basically used to say, what the hell is this, or something?
Yeah.
That she wanted those to be her last words.
Yeah, she wanted to use somebody's catchphrase to be her last words.
Mm-hmm.
But every time she does it, she gets distracted by something and says something else instead.
Comes out,
and then he sort of leaves it hanging, assuming that it's going to go on and on forever. And then the next one is probably even bleaker. As this woman, it starts raining and she rushes home to bring her laundry in. And she's constantly delayed by her friends who keep talking to her from balconies.
Weakened balconies.
Yes, and each of them then fall to their deaths off the balconies.
I love this, because after each one dies, they kind of have a little moment where it's like a Mufasa in the sky looking down kind of moment. And and she just speaks over the top of them, that either she didn't really like them or she had a crush on them or...
The friends sort of become less and less connected to her as they go along, because I think the last one's just the woman who lives across the road.
Yeah,
so it's pretty bleak, but also very funny, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll spoil it, I don't care. She ends up dying herself at the end.
Yes.
It's not that big a punchline, really, as some of the others, but it's a good episode.
Yes.
Definitely worth.
And it's the final episode, and this is probably the other big character from the show, along with the prince.
Oh, is this a recurring character as well?
Yeah, there's
other Usami. I'm pleased about that.
Yes, it's you're a detective, Usami-chan, and she's a great detective. Yes, it's Usami-chan, the rabbit detective, who goes to a school for animals and solves many, many frequently perverted crimes.
And if you've ever been to one of Brack's panels, you'll have already seen one of the characters from it.
Yeah,
I've
done videos. Yeah, her, because all the crimes, you might as well say, are committed by her classmate.
Kumakichi. I just love this character's face. He has such an innocent face, and obviously he gets nicked by the police every time. And I love the little build-ups to him actually getting caught. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, episode. Everybody in their world has got dots for eyes, apart from Usami-chan, who has, the stereotypical manga or anime eyes.
When she goes into, detective mode.
The bigger, and then...
Stare.
Just stares at him whenever they think he's done something wrong. Yeah, but she crops up in other episodes in the series later on.
I'm pleased about that. But what's great about this is the way kind of Kumakichi, the guy who's responsible for each crime, he kind of helps her get to the conclusion anyway each time.
Yes, because he's also like her Watson, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
And then sort of is surprised when he's discovered that it was him.
And
yes.
The level of kind of crime that's committed each time is hilarious. It's good.
Yeah, because the first episode is that there's been a stolen swimming costume, and then they go through all these clues, and then eventually the final finishes with the camera pulling out to reveal that Kumikichi's been wearing the costume the entire time.
And the policeman who nicks him every time is like a rabbit or a dog or something.
I think he's a dog, yeah. And there's always
let out in handcuffs.
And it's always the same sound effect as well with the siren.
Oh, good episode. Good series.
I'm glad you liked it.
I think the fact each episode's 5 minutes long, there's 12 of them, you can rinse through them in one sitting, to be honest. And that, to me, it's good. It's easy watching. You can sit in a group of friends and just have a good laugh. And no, I did later, and I will probably watch further seasons. So
yeah, I think some of 2's been fan-subbed, and I think all of 3's been fan-subbed.
Right.
I think the guy who was doing some of the later ones basically was just picking his favourite episodes to begin with, rather than doing ones he didn't like.
Oh, very convenient. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed this. Really did.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't been streamed, because it seems like something which Crunchyroll could easily pick up, because there's quite a few of these short type series cropping up now, because they're fairly cheap to make. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this one I'd say is my favourite, without a doubt. It's one of my favourite series in general.
See, I just felt it was genuinely clever with its like subject matter, and that to me shows it's like a bit better written than.
Yeah, I think it's well directed as well, because you could probably tell like, those same stories and not have the gags.
That's true. Yeah, in such a way.
With that speedy delivery on some of them, and also that's matched in sort of the rhythm of how the how it's animated, mm-hmm. and how the scenes cut. Yeah, because I kind of got obsessed with that on some posts. I've done one for God, I can't remember the series. It's a recent sex comedy 4-panel strip, and where they were adapting the material from the comic, they did quite a good job. It sort of you have to figure out the pacing in the anime where there is just the pacing is the gap between panels. And so they did that by sort of switching shots. So while in the comic, you might have a repeated panel, which you can get away with because you're getting the rhythm by going panel to panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't do that rhythm in the animated version. So you've got to switch shots. But when they tried to do their own good jokes, it just fell really flat. They just didn't have the same sense of humor.
Right.
And it's like when I was I tried to do a similar thing with that show K-On, which everyone seems to like. And a red mist descended because they just ruined jokes from the strip by basically spreading them out very thinly over an episode and just getting rid of the rhythm of the.
Obviously, the rhythm and the delivery of a joke's extremely important, no matter what medium, in a sense. So
yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
But no, I cannot wait to watch. I will rewatch this, so that's saying something. I cannot wait for those who haven't seen it, who I'm friends with from the convention and stuff. I want to get them sat down watching it in a group because it's good fun.
Yes, they may be horrified, but yeah, probably. I think it brings you in nicely with the stickers episode, and then sort of sets you up for the more historical ones.
Yeah,
and then it finishes strong with Usami-chan because I think that is. Definitely one of the best episodes of the series.
Yeah.
And one of the strongest characters.
It's good.
Right. The other topic we're going to talk about, since it's just been released today, is the Kitacon event schedule.
Ta-da!
So this is on www.kitacon.org/schedule. And first thing I was pleased to see is the registration starts at 10 o'clock, because I foolishly have arranged my travelling times to get there at 12 o'clock, and I can't actually check in to the hotel room until 3 o'clock.
Right, okay.
So at least there'll be something to do when I get there.
Registration's horrible. Hate registration. People queuing up. Though then again, I'm gopherin' this year, so it won't affect me. I'll just be helping.
You'll be helping. Yeah. I've not had any trouble. I tend to turn up. Normally, in the recent years, I've been turning up fairly late in the afternoon to conventions, and so registration hasn't really been an issue.
Right, yeah, there's nothing worse than queuing, because everyone seems to be so hell bent on getting the badges, understandably, of course, because obviously once you've got it, you've got it, so you don't have to worry about it. So that's 10 till 3.
10 to 3, yeah.
I'll be busy at this point.
And then they got the opening ceremony at 4. I've not been to an opening ceremony to a convention for, I'd say, 8 years now.
Oh. You should go to this one because Luke Dan, he's doing the promo video, and I've of good knowledge it'll probably be very good. So go to see that.
I should try to. If I
don't. You're not going to. I know you're not. Because I can actually see Brack on webcam right now, and he's got this grin that says all over it, "I'm not going to the opening ceremony," but we'll see. We'll see. So what else is on?
Action Castle 5. I wasn't entirely sure what that was, but then I looked it up. It's some sort of... you remember the text adventure games you used to have?
Ah, yes, yeah.
But it's done like that in sort of a live version of that. As far as it's like a live role-playing version of that, but people take turns to have a turn at it.
Right.
So the pieces I've seen of people doing it is you have this long queue of people going up to a podium with a microphone. And they say what they're going to do next in the game.
That sounds quite a good idea for a panel, I have to say. I don't know if it'll work. Have they been done before, previous cons? Or
I don't know. The guy running it's Elliot Page, who I have on Twitter, but I don't think I've ever met.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah,
I think he's also doing a podcasting panel, I think. Maybe we should go along.
We should probably go along to that, yes.
Learn a few things.
So I might go to that. That sounds certainly more interesting than Friday Night Magic. Which I looked up is apparently some sort of, is that Magic the Gathering thing going on there?
Oh, I was hoping you'd say Magicians, but
That's what I hoped it was. But then I looked up what Friday Night Magic was, and it's some sort of type of Magic the Gathering game.
Did you not collect those cards?
I didn't know.
Right.
Of course, that was the most popular one. Why would I do that? Why would I want people to play a game with?
But at the same time, something that's very important to me is the Super Street Fighter 4 tournament in the game.
Yes,
room.
You're a big fan of these.
Huge, huge fan.
Yeah, I've given up playing them for the past 10 years. I can't be bothered to put the practice in.
Oh, see, that's my problem. I put too much practice in, but no, we'll not get into my addiction. But definitely go to this. It's ran by Horatio Clement Drift, and I shall be helping out with this as well, as well as some other people. We'll be commentating on matches, and it should be good.
2 hours.
Probably. 2 hours, and that is the first part of the tournament, but we'll get to the latter part later on.
And then at 6 o'clock, there's cosplay photo tips.
That doesn't affect me. I don't take it affects you, does this? Or does it?
No, I mean, I've taken cosplay photos before, but last at AmiCon, I only took photos of people taking photos of cosplayers. So it'd be different. So I came back with a bunch of, sort of stealthily taken photos of people taking photos of cosplayers.
See, I think there's a market to that. Like, you could have your own kind of cosplay island equivalent. But with, I don't know, photographer island or something, I don't know.
I didn't do as many as I wanted to because, again, too much like hard work. Then at 7 o'clock, you start getting the big events coming up. So there's a J-pop set by...
Guest DJ. Piloru? Yes. Piloru?
I don't know.
I don't know who that is, but chances are that'll be good.
Pub quiz as well, opposite it. That's probably what I should be going to.
Yeah, that's running in three rooms.
It is, yeah. I believe the walls come down between them, I think.
Right, okay.
I did ask because that affects me on the Saturday.
Right.
And then there's games continuing after Super Street Fighter 4 tournament ends.
And chances are you might see me in the games room because ideally that's what I'll be gophering and... Chances are I would have been there anyway, so say hello to me if you see me.
And then following the J-pop set...
You can't wait for this, I'm sure.
At 9 o'clock is something called Lady Gaga on Loop, which I believe is just a general disco thing that...
I actually don't know. I hope to God it is, because...
I think the request thread on the Kitticon forums was just general requests.
Right, right.
Any sort of music you can dance to.
No, oh, that's good. No, but that should be a good party.
And that goes on to 2 o'clock in the morning, by those things.
Following that is something very important. No doubt there'll be lots of people at.
Yeah.
The Yowie and Yuri panel.
Which is running from, looks like 2:30 to 3:30.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I don't think I'd be up at that time. I can't stay up that late anymore.
Somebody will record it for you, because I'm sure you're very keen on what to talk about.
At least not when I've got to do something else for the next 2 days. But
yeah, that's so true. And that is Friday. No. Yes.
Yeah, that's Friday. Friday. That's Friday taken care of. I believe, is everything running 24? Yeah, by looks of things. They've got screenings as well running 24
yes,
hours.
I'll scroll along. Yeah. Screens to be confirmed as far as... Oh, the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, what is that? I've not been to Kitticon, so I don't know what that is.
Oh, I was assuming it was a film, but obviously that would be far too good. So.
No, I think it's their strange... what's the word I'm looking for?
An early bird screen or something? Or...
No, it's that thing that they've been doing, which is like... Yes, like Philip Schofield and Gordon the Gopher.
That's the one. I can't remember what it's called now, but yeah, you can find them on YouTube, so...
Yeah, I think that's what it is, from what I'm aware of. So on the Saturday, first thing up is the dealer's room opens at 9 o'clock.
Oh, far too early. Far too early. Have you got your eye on anything in the dealer's room, potentially anywhere?
Yeah, if there's anything Red Line related, I should probably pick that up if I can afford it. If there's a Welcome to the Space Show art book, which has got all the character designs in, I definitely would be interested in that.
Do you ever do much artwork yourself? Obviously, I know you're interested in like the animation side of all this. So
no, because I'm a terrible artist.
Right. Okay.
I do pick up art books occasionally. I've got a few. I've got Cannabis Works, and I've got Orange. But those are the last two I got.
Right.
Which are pretty good. They're sort of individual artist ones rather than series ones. But yeah, when I went to see Welcome to the Space Show, I did ask in the Q&A how many character designs there were for the aliens, and they said there's about 400 or so.
See, I don't know what you're talking about here.
Welcome to Space Show is this movie by a lot of the people who worked on Read or Die.
Oh, right.
Sort of a bit like the Famous Five in space.
Right.
The best way to describe it. But the aliens, they sort of, rather than your typical sort of aliens in a thing where it looks like they've all come from the same sort of planet.
Right. Yeah.
They sort of went out their way to make as diverse as possible.
See, that's impressive.
Of alien races.
That's impressive.
Yeah, which is why that's after I saw it, that was the question I wanted to ask. Yeah. It's just
is this a film or it must be a film?
It's a film. Yes. Yeah. It's pretty good. I'm not sure when it's coming out properly over here, because it was at the BFI anime thing last May. I saw it.
That sounds interesting. I like the sounds of that.
It is. It's a little overlong, but sort of all the. I think everything positive about their Read or Die work comes through in that.
That's good.
They're very good for very good character work, very good gags as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the plot's a little overcooked, I think.
Right.
But yeah, it's very much like sort of Famous Five in space, sort of unsupervised kids doing things, and then end up going on a holiday in space.
Mm. As you do.
As you do, yeah. So if there's an art book for that, I may well pick that up.
Nice.
Then there's a cosplay comp. That's at 9:30.
Is that the Masquerade or No,
the Masquerade's later, so I'm not sure what that is. Obviously not having done any cosplay for 6 years, not really interested in that anymore. at 10 they've got Build a Mecha Reborn, which is, I believe, their sort of ghetto mecha construction competition they have.
It went very well last year, as far as I'm aware, so I was in bed at the time, I hear that's very good. So and obviously, at this time, the games room is still ongoing, as it should be. Gotta love the games room.
Yeah, so. And then at 12 o'clock, there's another thing called cosplay competition.
Hmm. So obviously, cosplay comp must lead on to that, surely. At least you'd expect.
Quite possibly,
so.
Looks like it. Yes.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe thing at 12, Professor's Nerf thing.
I have no idea. No idea. Could be something to do with Nerf guns or toys, maybe?
Possibly.
Who knows?
Hopefully it's Scowny in a funny outfit. So
quite possibly. Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Opposite of that is podcasting, which I should probably go to.
I'd tell you Page again, I think. I don't know who he is.
So.
Then
there's also a Pokemon tournament opposite that as well, which runs for two.
I was actually going to get in on that because I recently bought a DS.
So it's a electronic Pokemon
tournament. As far as I'm aware, at least, yeah.
Carl.
But I don't think I'm going to enter anymore because I haven't trained enough. So it's not worth it. But that should be good. I think that's run by Gary Thake, if anyone knows him. Chances are you do. So, yeah. What else?
Then it's... Is that 12?
12,
no. No, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yeah.
Something called Basic Manga Characters. No idea.
I don't know who's running that. I think that's run by... That's a Kita event, because obviously they're colour-coded in regards to what they are. So I don't know about that.
And also Beginner's Cosplay, which obviously sounds fairly self-explanatory.
Yep.
At 1:30, it is the Lolita Tea Party.
Will you be queuing up for that?
I don't think so. Oh. No, I remember I got in trouble. One Amicon for claiming that the Gothic Lolita events were also cosplay events. They really did not like that. They don't like their costumes being referred to as cosplay, it turns out.
So I don't know many Lolita people, so... I didn't know that.
No. But I stand by, if you wouldn't go to Tesco's to pick up your weekly shopping in it, it's still cosplay.
I don't know, I bet some of these people would. No offence to them, obviously, it's a lifestyle choice. But I might have a pop my head into that, actually, because... I like a good cup of tea, so...
No, not.
What's this? Sacre bleu.
Ah, that will be our friend Ivan's anime in France panel. I think that's the third one he's done.
Mm-hmm. I think we should definitely go to that if we're...
Yeah, certainly,
have him on at one point, touch wood.
Yes, Sacre we shall also hit him up to get on the podcast about that. Yeah, so he famously did once gatecrash a, not the Lolita Tea Party, but it was the bald-jointed doll event at One Amicon with one of his Fist of the North Star action figures.
Oh, that's amazing. That's good. In fact, I might try and find a Fist of the North Star action figure in the dealer's room, actually. That's inspired me. But yeah, there should be some there,
I'd imagine, because they brought some new ones out. If you look on at hlj.com first, you should be able to get an idea of what's out there.
Right. And what kind of price? Because I don't want to be paying too much.
There's some Revoltech ones, I know. So they're fairly cheap, I would imagine, because they're Revoltech. but yeah, I've not looked at any merchandise in years now, because once the pound slipped... I went off buying merchandise. I think the last thing I got was Detroit Metal City Revoltech. Picasso, the second. Right. I think that was the last thing I got in terms of tat-wise.
Tats! Oh, God. What's the worst thing you've ever bought at a convention? There's a question.
I would say it might be a Final Fantasy VII key ring. Which fell apart on me on the way home.
Oh, goodness. No returns either, I don't
know. I don't know where it fell apart on me from, because the key ring fell off.
So you actually lost the kind of... the iconic part of the key ring, and you just had
it. It was clowed on a bike, and by the time I got home, all I had was like one of those little screw loops left on the key ring.
Well, I suppose it was what it said on the tin. It was still a key ring, but... No, I've got to say the worst thing. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but... I was too drunk, and I just bought a load of DVDs because I was too drunk. Obviously, I mentioned that before, and that was the worst thing I've ever bought.
Well, that's the thing. I have taken advantage of people's drunken wallets in the dealer's room before, where I've bought things deliberately to sell in the dealer's room and then marked them up ridiculously because I know people
that is
drunk in charge of wallets.
So sly. So what, you've run your own stall in a dealer's room?
No, I've put...
Online or something?
Yeah, what I've done is I bought... Well, the two things I did, I got a Osaka plushie from Azumanga Daio.
Right.
For probably 15 quid from America, and then sold it for 40 quid on earlier Iacon bring and buy stall.
People are fools. To be, I'd laugh if it was somebody we knew who bought it, and they went.
But it's harder to do that now because it's a lot easier to get the stuff.
Yeah, so that's evil on your part as well.
There's a lot more dealers in the dealer's room, so
yeah,
you can't get away with it. It was a nice profit. That was the convention.
It was a nice profit.
That was the convention where I came away with more money in my wallet than I entered the convention with, even taking into account accommodation.
We have to edit that bit out, or you're going to be blacklisted. But for the fans out there, as little number as you are, we don't edit this, clearly.
Except when it gets out of sync. That's the only time I've edited it so far. Right. Yeah, so with that, and I did it with a Panda Z plushie as well.
Nasty man.
But not as big a markup, because there was no way I could get away with as big a markup at that time.
You thought about it, though. He tried.
But it's hard to get away with that now. Though you still see people trying to do it. Cause
I bet, yeah.
Last Amicon, there was somebody who was trying to sell Vision of Escaflowne box set more expensively than it was brand new in the dealer's room.
Crazy. I remember one year in the Bring and Buy, I seen, is it Sayuki Reload? I seen a box set for that in the Bring and Buy, and I'm sure it was far overpriced. I can't remember how much now, but I bet it was one of you touters trying to tout for business.
Yeah, unless it's out of print, there's no that reason could have been the any case. DVD should be particularly expensive in there. I always aim for, I don't want to pay more than £3 a disc for a second hand.
All right, that's a good policy. I like that. That's a good policy.
I even try and do that for new discs as well. But
that sounds hard work.
It is. It's hard to get that. But sometimes you can get that if there's decent deals on with the some of the labels in there, because Bees always tend to have some sort of buy two, a discount deal going on with their different ticketed items.
Yeah. Right. So what else is on?
Sand Monks to Spirit Bombs. Again, no idea what that is. That's another.
It sounds funky. So.
Manga Methods. I don't know whether that's sort of a tutorial thing for people who try their own.
Mahjong.
I guess that's a tutorial for the game. And then Para at 4.
Is this also an Ivan panel?
This is not Ivan again. I was always thinking that he was going to run them one into the other and lock the door during the French one to
lock the
force you to do the para-para.
Oh, Ivan. What a guy.
And then at 5 o'clock, there's the Masquerade, which runs for 2 hours. And there are other things going on then. The games room still open.
Yeah. And what is this? What is this at 7 o'clock?
And then at 7 o'clock for 2 hours, or maybe more, because nothing's on after it, Mad Extravaganza, which is my panel, which again takes up 3 of the event rooms. So I do believe they sort of have partitions which will be removed. Mm. Yes, so do come along to that. It will be great.
Definitely.
As always. Sort of going up against me at the 8 o'clock hour, though, is their musical guest, Lamia Cross.
Oh, that'll get a lot of people, I'd imagine. So,
potentially. You probably will. Yeah, there's a group of people who that's part of the reason why they come to these things anymore. They're not really interested in anime or manga. They just want to dance to Japanese pop music. if my article is in the con book, there's some digs towards that sort of thing. But most of the digs in the article are towards myself. But
you're going to go to Kitacon as a hated man, selling things overly priced.
I'm going on the train, so nothing's going on the bring and buy store, because I only put things on the bring and buy stores when I've got the car with me.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, so I'm travelling light this time because I'm going up on the train because I'm not paying £12 a night or whatever it was to park the car at the Hilton. I think it was going to cost me more to park the car there than it was to get a train ticket there and back.
Crazy. That is crazy. Would you not get a discount with staying in the Hilton? Or are you not actually staying?
I don't think so, no. I don't think you do. I think it's straight up. But I think you even have to pay for the gym as well.
Oh, but right.
I'm going to double check that because I won't mind using the gym. Because I'm likely to get up early before everybody else. So
yeah.
Not being a drinker, I'm not going to be hungover any of these days.
Oh, I wish I could do that. Not be hungover. Obviously not give up drinking at a con, because that would be silly.
You just don't want the hangover part.
Just don't want the hangover. Don't want the repercussions of it all.
And then after Lamia Cross, at 10 o'clock, is Kitacon Rocks 2, which I assume is a more rock music type disco.
Yeah. And following that, something that was a massive hit last year, if I remember rightly, because I was there.
Again, at 2:30.
The Hentai Power Hour.
So what does this entail?
Just in the best possible way of describing it, it's a bit of a free-for-all, but that's like, it is structured, but it's everyone's welcome to shout in their own little thing. But it's good, it's good.
But obviously it's 18 plus, because this is it's a 16 plus con. So I've had to be careful with some things I've included in Mad Stravaganza. But if you are 16 plus, you can come to Mad Stravaganza. It's perfectly safe.
Yeah, yeah. But no, Hentai Power Hour shall be.
But their morals, not their sanity. Their sanity is still at risk.
Of course. And then it's just night time. Hopefully go to bed.
Yeah, still running things through the night.
Screenings.
And then Sunday, more cosplay comp, whatever that is, at 9 o'clock. Dealer's room open again at 9. And then at 10, they've got start of a double bill of the Evangelion Rebuild films.
I would like to see that.
Which runs from 10 to 2, showing both of them.
I'm not going to be out of bed, so I'm not even going to pretend. Oh no, I will be out of bed, because if you look to the right, there's the final part of the Super Street Fighter 4 tournament. So, yes.
But you're also supposed to be in AMV Iron Chef.
At 1 o'clock, yeah.
At 1 o'clock. So you just have to you'll have to throw a match or something, so you know.
That's what I'm going to have to do. So touch wood that I get the final. I don't want to jinx it here, but I may have to just throw it away. It's the taking part that matters, of course, isn't it?
It is.
So, yeah. But no, I'm more professional in the sense I will attend my panel on time. And AMV Iron Chef.
At least it is at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. Sometimes when there's a panel at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, people don't manage to get out of bed in time to run their panels.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened in the past. But at 10 o'clock on the Sunday, there's a steampunk panel. So presumably they'll be showing you how to make typewriters heavier. There's the ball-jointed doll panel / meet.
With Ivan, hopefully. Maybe a little cameo.
2 hours, so I don't know quite what they do there. Apart from hopefully keep their creepiness inside the room for a while.
You're not a fan of ball-jointed dolls?
You have to admit, it's a little creepy how some people treat them as children.
They're extremely realistic, these. And, well, the two human-like, but at the same time they are very...
They've got those dead eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also they tend to be worth hundreds, maybe.
Oh, no, it's insane. See, there's a potential business venture for you. There's money to be made. Just boost the price slightly.
And then there's also something called Beijing Punk, which I assume is something about Chinese punk.
That could be interesting. That's a Akita Ran panel as well, so I'm not sure who's doing that.
That's, what time is that? 11:30, I believe. There's something called Banzai Jump.
Don't know what that is.
And also the Super Street Fighter 4 tournament. Anime on Demand. Is that an industry panel, perhaps?
I'm checking the Color Key. It's a Kita event, but that's it's meant to be a Kita event, so potentially an industry panel.
I thought there was an industry panel somewhere they were supposed to be, but that may be it. Then at, is that 1 o'clock your start for AMV Iron Chef?
Yeah, go along to that and hopefully it'll be good.
So what are you doing? You're making an AMV in an hour, is that the idea?
That is the plan. If it goes according to plan, I will be very, very happy. But we tried. No, it'll be good. It's me and Luke Dan, Loosh. Many of you may know him. And basically, mano a mano, a computer each, and we edit to a song in an hour. Questions are welcome, hecklers welcome. Just come along, hopefully it'll be good, and hopefully it'll be a recurring event if it goes well, and another, perhaps go on another con. But we shall see. We shall see.
Then at 2 o'clock, we've got a Transformer panel, presumably about Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And also Breena Q&A. Is that one of the guests of honour?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I have to say I've not paid too much attention to who's actually going.
I'm sure it's a great Q&A, and I'm sure those fans who love her will probably be there and cheering on in full force. The last year I went to a Q&A panel with a voice actor. Let's just say I was one of the hecklers, in the nicest possible way, of course, but... So I might actually go to that to see, to join in with the fun and festivity.
And at 2:30, there's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Collectible card game panel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't forget the wigs panel.
Oh, yeah, I was going to do a rundown of all the cosplay things. Yeah, there's a cosplay comp, then a crossplay, nice. Then advanced armor, wigs panel, and budget cosplay is what they're doing this year.
I don't know who's running any of those. So,
but no, I don't know whether it's the usual suspects or whether there's new people coming.
But certainly if you're thinking about going into cosplay, I'd imagine the budget cosplay one will be very effective. And
when I did cosplay, it was always budget cosplay. It was always charity shop cosplay.
That's the only way to do it, the best way.
And glue rather than sewing.
What about mask and tape, or was that?
Yeah, mask and tape, yeah. And stencils for spraying on acrylic paint onto patterns and things.
All right, what have you actually cosplayed? I never actually thought of masking.
Who have I been? I've been Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece. I've been Pauly from One Piece. I've been Giroro from Sergeant Frog, and I've been Friend from 20th Century Boys.
Which I'm actually reading at the moment, and I do like that.
Yeah, so. Friend was probably the most effective one, but unfortunately I couldn't see while I had the mask on, because I need glasses.
Oh.
So I could only wear the mask for brief periods before...
I think you should bring the Friend one back.
I'd have to remake the mask, I think, because I've got it here, but I think it's not kept its colour, because it's like an iron-on design I put on it, rather than a spray-on.
When did you do that?
2005, that would be the last time I did anything.
See, because I've seen a few people do it since then, but obviously you could have been the original, the first.
Oh, I definitely wasn't the original, because I think I saw people do it on 4chan before that, but I think I was probably the first person to do it in the UK. But yeah, because at the time, very few people recognised the costume.
Oh, I can imagine.
But those who did, you knew they were cool people.
Oh, well, I knew what it was from, of course. So.
Then we've got at 4:30, Kitter's Got Talent. I think I shall have got be gone by this point, unfortunately.
What, are you actually leaving early?
Well, this is late for when I normally leave a convention.
I think
my train's at 4:30, so...
Oh, that's a shame. Do you never stay at the Monday? Well, so you work, and I suppose it's...
Yes, I'm working, so, yeah.
Right.
I wasn't going to stay too late.
That's why I never see you at the prom. I wanted that last dance with you. Oh, man. But no, Keita's Got Talent should be good.
So what is Keita's Got Talent? I'm not...
Basically, you can... I don't know if they're still taking... kind of acts in yet or not. I don't know if they've closed it, but basically whatever you want, you can do it there. Last year I was one of the judges. I was thrown in last minute as a judge with me, Rum, and one of the guests who was a singer. And there was like comedians, there was like a dance routine, there was singers. But it's worth seeing, but Certainly contact the ones who are running it to see if they're still letting people in to kind of do an act. But I don't know about that. Oh, it's a shame you're missing that.
Yeah, shame. Big shame. No, I've sat through plenty of the people. I've sat through a lot of masquerades in my life. And, yeah, I don't miss any that I've missed at this point.
But for all you know, I could be judging again this year. That's what I'm pitching for anyway. So we'll see. But after the Keita's Got Talent is the closing ceremony.
Again, I don't think I've ever been to a closing ceremony. That's not true. No, that's not true. I think I've been to some Minami ones, but it's been a long time since I've been to a closing ceremony.
And at this point of the con, everybody will be extremely merry, but very kind of the post-con blues will already be setting in, I'd imagine, at this point. At least that's how it tends to happen for me.
That's the other thing. I don't think I've ever suffered from post-con blues. Either,
My goodness. You've never lived.
Maybe the lack of hangovers and also the leaving early to go. To make sure, I always tend to make sure I've got something else to do the day I leave.
Right, that's a good plan. Because if you, for anyone who doesn't know what post-con blues are, it's basically you go to a con, go home, and you realise you live this boring life that isn't as exciting as a weekend in Birmingham at a con. It's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Now, adrenaline crash after doing the Mad Stravaganza. I've had that.
Right. Yeah.
The IAcon one from 2009. Which was in the 1,000-seat room. Yeah, I crashed hard after that when I got back to the hotel. Well, not so much after the hotel. It was more Sunday morning when the fire alarm went off at 7.
Well, what do you mean you crashed? What, you didn't just, like, burst into tears, did you?
No.
So overwhelmed.
No. It was just, like, Sunday morning when the fire alarm went off. I had a great deal of difficulty to get my body downstairs to the hotel because I'd spent all the adrenaline at the you doing the panel the day night before. But
because it's a lot of effort to run a panel. I mean, I haven't actually ran one yet, but obviously the work that I'm putting in it at the moment, it's a stressful job. It's a stressful thing to do. So hats off to everyone who's run the panel or whoever has ran one in the past. Definitely.
Yes. Then after that, you've got the Kitter Prom at 8 o'clock.
Suits and dresses and.
I've never been to one of these proms since Amicon introduced them way back when.
See, I was
firmly against their existence.
Oh, see, I just like any excuse to wear a suit. I love wearing a suit, so what better chance than a Keita prom?
It was more the fact that I think some of the early ones, they didn't have anything opposite them if you didn't want to do that. Yeah. Whereas here we have the karaoke.
Is Perrin running that?
I don't know. I don't know who's running it, whether he's just doing software as per usual or whether he's running it or not. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been around when the karaoke... Because always seems to end up on Sunday evenings now at the non-once, and so I miss out.
See, me and karaoke don't mix, so I tend to steer clear.
Which is a shame, because I did get them to do a karaoke version of... I'm getting Santa Claus a Pikachu for Christmas or something like that, which one of the songs off the Pokemon Christmas album.
Has been
turned into a karaoke track for my pleasure, but I've never managed to get around to singing it yet.
See, it's a shame you're not around and you could have done it.
I know, but I've got to get back up for work the next day.
Ah, fair enough.
And then Dance, whatever that is.
Yeah, that'll just be obviously linked in with the party.
Yeah.
So, and that is KitaCon.
That is KitaCon.
Hype.
Yes.
Let's build hype, people.
It is, yes. So, if you're there, we shall see you there.
Say hello. Not that you know what any of us look like. Well, you probably do, actually. So, say hello. Tell us how much you hate this podcast. And, So, what we've got in store next week?
I have no idea. Because I've been ill the past 2 days, not really giving any thoughts.
Well, it'll be something.
It'll be something. Hopefully. Have you finished watching Panty and Stocking yet?
Not yet, but I can do. I just feel I don't know, but I will. I will. We'll
power through it. Power through it.
What else? I doubt I could finish Fish in the North Star in time, being 109 episodes. So that's a tall order.
Yes, we'll still see. It'll be something or other.
Have you got anything planned that I should watch off the top of your head? And see you looking around what I imagine to be your DVD collection.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking we'll come up with something. We should make a list of what we've each of us have seen, and then we can find where it crosses over, so we can
knock
some episodes off without having to actually go and watch something afresh.
Right, that's good. That sounds like
that'll be a plan. But anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Find us at Twitter. And ask you, that's me.
Yeah, and I'm awesome_engine. You can find us on Formspring. I believe it's formspring.com/dynamitebrain is us.
Ask a few questions. I was hoping to have one read out today, but I secretly asked one myself, but we'll not say what that is because it's quite embarrassing when I think about it.
It wasn't very secret either because it did say Antasky.
Oh, was I logged in?
You were, yes.
Oh, that is a terrible effort.
What are you doing asking yourself a question?
Oh, God. But no, like us on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next week or whenever it is.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the